into a great job. What a blessing. Wait, can I just tell y'all something? Pastor put his head in my office a little bit ago, and he said, hey, you ready to preach tonight? I thought he was kidding. And so, I'm not excited either that I'm up here, okay? And so, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm being silly. But when I was in Bible college, Dr. Ron Comfort, how many of you remember Dr. Comfort? There was about 100 of us preacher boys in there, and he looked at us, and I can still remember in his voice, I can mimic it, but I'm trying to be spiritual right now, so I'm not going to mimic his voice. But he looked at us and said, always have a message in the back of your Bible. I was at that moment earlier this afternoon that I wish I would have heeded that warning. And, but I honestly do wish Pastor was preaching tonight. I was looking forward to Psalm 23, but the Lord is sovereign, and, I believe God's in control, don't you? And honestly, the best message that Pastor Broyhill is preaching tonight is being with his wife right there in the urgent care. That's the best message he could preach tonight. And that's a blessing. There is some good news here for us, however. This could be a very short message tonight. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we're all family here, right? Amen. We're all family. Praise the Lord. And I was going to just re-preach something that I've done before, but this passage has been just in my heart so much. And so I'm just going to speak to you what the Lord's been speaking to me about. How about that? Is that good with you all? And so that's what we're going to do, and we're going to trust God's Word to be sufficient. And so if you have a copy of the Bible, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 40. The Old Testament book of Isaiah chapter 40. How many of you are grateful for what God's doing in Calvary Baptist Church? Amen. I like what a preacher told me a few months ago. He said, life is too short to go to a dead church. I like that, don't you? And so I'm thankful to be a part of a place that's alive and that God's working. I'm thankful for our pastor. And we're praying for Mrs. Broyhill tonight. I hate that she's going through that and trusting the Lord with her. I thank the Lord for what God's doing here and thankful that our family could be part of it. And thank the Lord for it. Isaiah chapter 40. Have you found it? Isaiah chapter 40. I'd like you to look with me at verse number 28. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Here's what God says. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In verse 31, there's a word that's used four times in just the one verse. And that word jumped off the page of Scripture to me. And that one word is our title, our theme, our topic and text tonight. It's one word. It's the word shall. The word shall. I want you to pray with me, would you please? Lord, I sure need your help tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it's sufficient. Lord, we praise you for this day. Thank you that we can be part of a church that still values a midweek service, that we can come together and hear the Word of God preached. I pray that you would encourage the teenagers tonight, bless the children in the other building. Be with Mrs. Broyhill tonight. Raise her up physically. I pray for Emily and the baby there. I pray, God, you would... Thank you for life. I pray, God, you would bless that family. Help us as we look into your word tonight. In Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. I told this a couple weeks ago, but it was too good not to repeat again. But how many of you are moms and dads in here? Would you raise your hand? You're a parent, okay? And how many of you are glad you're a parent? Raise your hand, okay? Most of the hands still went back up, so that was good. All right. But how many of you moms and dads have ever made a promise to one of your children and you've broken your word? Would you raise your hand, please? Okay. Now, some of you are not being too truthful there, okay? So I'll never forget this past summer, Tiffany and I told Elise and Karis, we said, here's your summer project. We want you to read Psalm 1 through Psalm 50. 50 chapters. No, this isn't Norman Family Devotions. This is any, you know, did you read your Bible today? This is just on your own. And so Elise didn't do it, that we know of. But Karis, she came to me in August. She said, Daddy, guess what? I looked at her. I said, what, Karis? She said, I read Psalm 1 through 50. I said, that's great. And she says, now guess what? She says, you got to give me $20 that you promised. I said, if you guys read Psalm 1 through 50, we'll give you $20. Okay, that's pretty good, don't you think? All right. So I was like, all right, I'll come home from work today and I'll give you $20. I opened the front door, and guess who was standing there at the front door? Guess who was there? There was Karis, and she looked up at me, and I looked down at her, and guess what I forgot to get? What do you think I forgot to get? I forgot to get that $20. So I said, honey, I'm sorry. But you know what? She looked back up at me, and what did she say? But you promised. How do you think I felt wonderful at that moment? Man, I felt awful. It's one thing for us as human beings to make a promise to another human being. But you know what, child of God, tonight? When God makes a promise to us, you can take it to the bank that God will always keep His word. When God says shall, man, it means something. I want to see from Isaiah what the Bible says about shall. If you're taking notes tonight, I want to encourage you, number one, I want to encourage you from God's word. Number one, I want you to see the power of God. Number one, the power of God. Look with me at verse 28. We're going to go down to verse 30 again. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting, what's the next word, church? God. The, what's the next word? The Lord, the, what's the next word? Creator of the ends of the earth, neither or fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Isaiah is speaking to a distressed nation, and here he basically says, have you forgotten how powerful I am? Have you forgotten that I am Almighty God and I am all powerful? Have you forgotten how big your God is? Can I tell you, Christian tonight, whatever you come in here worried or fretting about tonight, your God and our God is bigger than our issue and He's bigger than our problem. Amen? He is enough and He's big enough to help you with your need. The power of God. Can I be honest with you tonight, in my little childlike mind sometimes. You know what I see when I read these three verses? It's almost like Isaiah is saying to us, well, duh, duh. Have you forgotten how big and how powerful your God is? Look at verse 28. He says, hast thou not known, question mark, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord of the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? You know what us Christians do? We come home at 5 o'clock, we kick up our shoes, we turn Fox News on, and then we try to figure out what we're worried about all the time. Amen? Or whatever your news source is, CNN, Newsmax, whatever it is, we come back home and we sit down and we spend 5 hours worrying and worrying and getting agitated and irritated all the time, and we go to bed worried or we got high blood pressure and kind of figure out what's, you know what, when we get in the book and we remember how good and how great our powerful God is about, we'll be okay. Amen? Because God is not fainting tonight. He is not frightened tonight. He is not weary tonight. Our God is powerful. Have you forgotten in your distress that the everlasting God has this all in control? Look at verse 28. I like this. He fainteth not, neither is weary. Anybody weary in here tonight? Any of you have a wearied week? God's not weary. Isn't it amazing how God can hear all of us in the room right now, plus all the other Christians in this world right now too? He's not weary tonight. He is fine. He hears you. Look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. What's the next word? He increaseth strength. Maybe you come in here tonight faint and weary. God has all the power to help you in your need. I like verse 30. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. How many of you can't put your age category in that verse right there? Okay, you're not part of the young or the you're more in like the old category. All right, I still consider myself young, so I'm there. But you know what God's saying here? Listen, weariness doesn't matter what age you are. Whether you're young or whether you're old, we get weary. Even the young men, even the youth shall utterly fall. But whether you're young or whether you're old, or maybe you're in the middle, based on Scripture, God is powerful and God can help you. When I was 18 years old, for our senior class trip, I went to Upper Bucks Christian School in Pennsylvania. And our senior class trip, there was 32 of us, and we went to Colorado for our senior class trip, and it was beautiful. I'd never seen mountains before quite like that. All I was used to seeing was tall buildings, and all of a sudden there's these beautiful mountains. How many of you have been to Colorado before, all right? Man, it was beautiful. It took my breath away. And one of our activities was we drove to the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado, one of the tallest mountains in Colorado, and they told us that we were going to bike down Pikes Peak. Listen, y'all can laugh, it's okay. I gave the brakes on that bike a run for their money, man. I'm telling you that, alright? Man, that thing was on its left. They probably threw that bike away when I was done with it, man, okay? But you know what? As I stood on top of Pikes Peak, and literally my breath was taken away, thinking how powerful and how awesome our God is. I looked across. I thought I could see the whole world on top of Pikes Peak. And I thought, you know what? The God that made all of this loves and deeply cares about me. And by the way, He loves and deeply cares about you, child of God, tonight. Amen. You know what that goes back to? It's Psalm 121 and verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes into the... What's the next word, church? Anybody know? The hills. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, the psalmist wrote. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Amen. And the psalmist says, when you look up to the mountains, tomorrow morning, you can't see tonight, but when you go and you see Pilot Mountain, when you see all that God has made, you can say, that's my God. That's the powerfulness of my God. That's where my help comes from. The God that made that, the God that made Pikes Peak, and the God that made you, that's where our help comes from. You don't have to be weary and discouraged tonight, Christian, because the God that is all powerful is the God that helps you tonight. He is not slumbering. He is not sleeping. You can call any king tonight, any president, and eventually they're going to go to sleep. But you can talk to the almighty, powerful God that will never slumber and He will never sleep. God is not tired. God is not weary. God is not faint. God is powerful and ready to hear from His children. The same almighty God that breathes through the very pages of the Bible and the very God that spoke the stars and at the beginning of time is the same God that is able to hear you and your need tonight and the same God that hears your prayer. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds that Thou hast made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. And maybe today you are in the sound of my voice and you have forgotten that the Almighty God of Isaiah 40 is the same God of 2022. The same God, and He has not changed. He loves and cares for you. I like what Pastor Pirate, Ron Hamilton, he put it in the music. We sing it in a church. He said, in His hands, He holds the power of creation. And with His voice, He spoke, and all things came to be. Yet, He hears each simple prayer I bring before Him. That God that made everything you see, He says, Tom, I'm here. I'm listening. His ears are open unto our cry. When I humbly seek His face and bow the knee. God is big enough to bear your burden. He's big enough. Amen. Number one, the power of God. I want you to see number two tonight, the prerequisite of God. The prerequisite of God. Look with me at verse 31. Just the first phrase. We'll look at the rest of it in just a moment. We're moving along to verse 31. But they that, what's the next word, church? But they that wait upon the Lord. Now, how many of you in this room love the promises of God? Would you raise your hand? Okay, we love the promises of God, don't we? We love it. We want God's promises. We love to hear God's promises. But what is the prerequisite in this verse? But they that, what's the word? Wait. God's promises to follow in just a few moments, in the next couple words, are the result of an obedient life to God. God says, I'm getting ready to give you some promises, but you first must wait. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. And then the psalmist repeats himself. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Did your parents ever tell you something one time and they sounded serious? But when they said something a second time, you know they really meant business. In Psalm 27, God says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thy heart, and then wait, I say, on the Lord. God's saying to us tonight, wait. You know what Christians, you know what Tom Delp does not like to do? That's right. We don't like to wait. I can become a very impatient person. We got any impatient people in here? Don't look too spiritual there, okay? We got any impatient people in here? Back when COVID first began in 2020, I think Tiffany was at home with one of our kids. It was a Wednesday night. And one of our kids was sick, so she was home. So I had the two, or I guess it was Silas was at home at six. So I had the two girls with me. And I texted her. I said, can I get you anything to eat? Can I bring you home anything? And she said, I would love a sandwich from, I'm not going to name the place. They're good people, okay? But she'd like a sandwich from here. So I got to this establishment at 8:52. And they close at 9 o'clock. Now, if it was like 8:58 or 8:59, okay, like, all right, you know, it's kind of, but, I mean, I was there 8 minutes before the place closes. Can I get an amen? All right? And I was the only one in the parking lot. I pulled in there. The lights were all on. I go to the drive-thru. I guess I gave it away a little bit. I went up to the drive-thru, and there was no one on the other side. I couldn't hear nothing. So it's like, and I could see there was four employees inside. It's like, maybe they can't, maybe the buzzer didn't, you know, ring or whatever. So I drove around, parked the car on the curb, and I went to open the doors, and they were locked. And they were like staring at me like I was a lunatic or something. They're like staring at me. I was like, it, you know, like I said, it's 8:52. All right. And so, you know, I knocked on the window and I motioned for the, looked like the manager. He came and he opened the door. He said, sir, we're closed. I said, okay. I said, that's disappointing. You know, I'm okay at this point. And they said, we're understaffed because of, you know what, okay, because of COVID. And when he said, you know, y'all, listen, y'all know me. I'm, you know, kind of like even, you know, I don't get too angry too easily. When he said that, I looked at him, I looked at the four employees he had sitting there. I looked at my watch, 8:52. I said, understaffed, you guys got four employees right there. I mean, come on now, all right? And so we kind of are going back and forth, and I said, you guys can't, you know, scrounge together four employees and make a sandwich for a very hungry individual, okay? I mean, come on. All of a sudden, I felt a hand coming down my shoulder and into my pocket. And it was my daughter, Elise. And know what she pulled out of my pocket? A gospel tract. And she said, Daddy, give it to him, give it to him, give it to him. Now, you'll believe me in a second, but that wasn't the funny part. You know what the track was? One of those, thank you for your excellent service. One of those, thank you for your excellent service tracks. Hey, thank you for your excellent service tracks. And this guy, you know, at this point he felt bad. And no, he's, you know, he gives me like, what they had like 10 or 12 chocolate chip cookies left. And he's like, you know, here's what I got left, you know, all right? You know what? I was not very patient that night. I was not waiting. You know what God's teaching us to do sometimes? Just to wait. That's why I like Chick-fil-A. You don't gotta wait. You don't have to wait at Chick-fil-A. Alright? Listen, our whole community is concerned about traffic on Main Street and this Chick-fil-A. Listen, I'm not concerned one bit. They'll get you in and out of there just like that. Alright? Amen? I like what John Phillips said something. I like this. He said, God has His own pace for accomplishing His purposes. Do you like that? He says, God has His own pace for accomplishing His purposes. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. God says, rest in me and be still. When things aren't going the way I want them to, I don't like stillness. But God says, Tom, be still and know that I am God. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hebrews 12:1-3. Wherefore, the writer of Hebrews wrote, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I like what the author said in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then verse 3, Hebrews 12:3 says this, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What does Hebrews say when you're wearied and when you're faint in your minds? What does the writer say that we should consider and look to? He says, look to Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross for our sins and bore the weight of that sin for all of us in this room. He says, whatever you're going through tonight, whatever struggle and valley and trial, looking to Jesus. The author who was the starter, and then he says he's the finisher. He's the completer of our faith. Look to Jesus. Consider him. Maybe tonight you're in this room and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, lost sinner, that you can become a saved sinner tonight. Amen. Because Jesus Christ bore it all for you. Would you look to Jesus and would you turn to Jesus tonight? I don't know what you're looking for tonight, but you're looking for it in all the wrong places until you find Jesus Christ. Jesus loves you and He died for you. He rose for you. Mitchell, come on up here, man. Okay? I asked Mitchell Nagel to come help us with this for just a second. Okay? All right. Now, don't get too scared, okay? I told him what I was going to do earlier, okay? Now, this is a pinata, okay? They use these, I think these exact same ones at the ladies' fellowship a few weeks ago, okay? And so, you ever hit a pinata before?
I have.
Okay? What's your favorite candy?
Reese's.
Reese's peanut butter cups. High five, man. This is a spiritual guy right here, okay? Reese's peanut butter cups, okay? Now, what if I told you this pinata was filled with Reese's peanut butter cups? Okay?
You'd probably take it from me.
That's right. Okay? But, now, this is a bat. This is my son's. Okay? Now, if there's a bunch of kids in here, I would have filled this up with, you know, if I preach this in elementary chapel soon, some of you Christian school teachers, I'm going to fill it up with candy, have some kid come up here and hit this. Okay? But, if I were to, humor me for the illustration. If I were to take this bat and start hitting this thing, what would eventually fall out? Reese's peanut butter cups, right? Okay? Now, if I look at Mitchell, don't give me the wrong answer here, okay? If I look at Mitchell and say, Mitchell, there's nothing in here, but I want to give this to you and have a good rest of your day, okay? That'd be kind of, wouldn't you think that'd be kind of a boring gift, okay? I mean, I guess the horse is kind of neat or whatever this thing is, unicorn or whatever, okay? But, listen, none of us are going to buy a pinata just for the sake of having a pinata, right? We want, what do we want? We want what's on the inside of this thing, don't we? Right? And sadly, this is a lot of the way that we treat our God. We don't want God. I'm not trying to be disrespectful in this way. I think all of you understand. We want all that God can give, don't we?
Yeah.
We want, you can go back, okay? We want the Reese's peanut butter cups, so to speak, don't we? When God, give me all your blessings. I don't want to talk with you. I don't want to fellowship with you. I want all your promises. I want all of what you can provide. I want all that you can give. But God, in and of yourself, you're nothing to me. I just want what you can provide or what you can give to me. That's convicting, isn't it? And God's saying, listen, I've got so much for you, but wait on me. Wait on the Lord. We want all of the gifts, but we don't want the giver of the gifts. We want all the stuff that God can give to us, but we don't want God, Him. Can I ask all of us a question? I had to ask this to me a little while ago. If God gave us nothing the rest of our life, would we be content with that? Just God being God? Now, by the way, how many of you are thankful for God's blessings? How many of you thank you you're going to get into a nice car tonight and go home and have a nice house? We're thankful for the blessings, but can we not be just content with who God is and be willing to wait on Him? There's the power of God, the prerequisite of God. Number three tonight, I want to encourage you with this, the promise of God. The promise of God. Now, let's look at the rest of verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, here's God's promise. What's the next word, church? Shall. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God gives us four promises in just one verse. Look at verse 31 again. They that wait upon the Lord shall, let's read this first promise together. Renew their strength. Promise number two. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Promise three, they shall run and not be weary. Promise four, they shall walk and not faint. I like what Warren Wiersbe said here. As we wait on the Lord, He enables us not only to fly higher and run faster, but to walk longer. Blessed are those that wait, for they shall eventually arrive at their destination. Amen. Child of God, you can hold tight tonight to God's promises. You can have strength on the journey, because when you have some strength that needs renewed, God says shall. You can have strength on the journey, because when you need to soar like eagles and can't get off the ground, God says shall. When you need strength on the journey because you are running on full steam and you're weary and you have nothing left to give, God says shall. And you can have strength on the journey tonight because when you are just walking and you can't seem to take another step because you've become faint, God says shall. And you can rest easy tonight knowing we don't have a God of the maybe, we have a God of the shall. He's not a maybe God. He's a shall God. And let me say this. When we yield to God, His shalls will become ours. Sometimes we wait and we rush in God. We want God to provide for us and we're not being obedient to His waiting. But when we yield to God, when we give ourselves to the Lord, we yield to His will, God will make sure that His will becomes ours. Can I share a few more promises with you? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, and I change not. I like that, don't you? You look around at all the political mess in our culture, and sometimes we're tempted to think that God changes. You know what? God's the same. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Child of God, you don't serve a God of the maybe. You serve a God of the shall. Go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning knowing that God is a shall God. He will always keep His word. He will always keep His promises. Everyone around you may break theirs, but God will never break His promise. God never made a promise that He will not keep. Bless His name. A few years ago, there was a group of people on an airplane. heading to a destination. They were on the runway. They were getting ready to take off. The wheels were turning. All of a sudden, they came to an abrupt stop. They backed up a little bit, and there was a voice that came on the intercom and said, "Folks, we've come into an emergency. We need everyone to evacuate the plane immediately, right now." Everyone hurriedly gets off the plane, and there was a lady that looked over to her right and saw a little girl, just a little girl coloring and drawing and just unworried about what was going on, the fear and all the issues going on around her. And the lady looks at the girl and says, "Honey, we need to get off the plane quickly. Aren't you worried about what's going on?" And the little girl looks at the lady and says, "Oh, ma'am, you see that man up there, way up in the front? The pilot way up there in the front? That's my dad. And he knows what he's doing." Child of God, on this night in 2022, our God's the pilot. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. I'm glad the captain of the old ship of Zion knows what he's doing. We don't have a maybe God. We have a shall God. Number one, the power of God. God is big enough. The prerequisite of God, he says, "Wait on me." The promise of God, shall. The same God of Isaiah 40 is the same God of right now. Amen. And you can rest easy tonight knowing we don't have a God of the maybe. We have a God of the shall. Would you pray with me around this room? Would you pray with me?